Mark chapter number 8. It's a powerful song. If you can't feel something on that, you need to get your feelers back out. Amen. Amen. Get them working again. Thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit. It's amazing when you lift Him up how He reveals His presence in that time. Because that's you're honoring the Lord, lifting Him up. He's worthy to be lifted up. Glory. I'm glad He is going to come. Blessed is He. Mark chapter number 8, begin reading in verse number 35. Mark chapter number 8, and verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We're talking about life in these verses. It says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you're trusting in your abilities to save your own life, you will lose. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. If you will lose your life, let go of your life, unattach your abilities to your own life, and give it to Christ, trust in the gospel, the death and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the saving of your souls, you shall find life and save life. God will save life. That's what it says. Verse 36, it says, so what shall it profit a man? What does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? The whole world's after gain today. Everybody's after gain. Gain, gain, gain. Getting more things and more things. Gaining achievements, more achievements. More certificates, more knowledge. But in the whole realm of gaining and gaining, and there's nothing wrong with gaining more knowledge. But what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And the next verse says, oh, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you was to break down this verse and the exchange, the trade for a soul. People don't realize it, but they're trading things right now for their own soul. Today in this time which we live in, people are trading jobs for their soul. They're trading responsibility for their soul. They're trading things, material things for their soul. They're trading achievements for their soul. They're trading knowledge and wisdom and money and the dollar. The God of this world, the money, the love of it. They're trading that for an exchange for their soul. Am I right, church? I mean, all around the world, it seems like nobody's concerned about the soul. It seems like nobody's concerned about life. The most valuable thing in the world is life, is another person. Another person born, the life of a child. Somebody go to church. Abortion is murder in the worst degree. That is life. at conception, given by God, that is a value of life, and that's the most valuable thing, and everybody's willing to exchange it for their own wants, for their own things. It says, what shall it profit a man if he exchange, if he gain the whole world? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Today, right now, people are given all kinds of things in exchange for their own soul. And for the Christian, in verse number 38, the Bible says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, and that's the generation in which we're living in today. We cannot deny the generation in which we're living. We can try to bleed it out. We can try to ignore it. But the fact of the matter lies, we are living in a sinful, sinful, sin-loving, slimy generation. And two words in this scripture cannot describe how sinful and how rotten it is. This world is a rotten world. Sin will rot you. Sin will corrupt you. Sin kills. It says, "Who's going to be ashamed? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this generation." It says, "Of him shall also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So he's saying, if you're going to be ashamed of me when you come into my kingdom, I'm going to be ashamed of you. That's some strong verses, isn't it? Look in your Bible to Luke chapter 16. I feel as Christians we have an accountability. We are accountable to one another. You are your brother's keeper. We are accountable to a soul. The only thing you can take to heaven with you if you're going this morning is another person. The only thing you can take to heaven with you if you're going this morning is another soul. Somebody can go with you. You can take somebody with you. You can take your child. You can't save them, but you can give the gospel which saves. And you can pray which saves. And you can beg God and plead with God, and He will answer your prayer if you're doing your part. You can bring them with you. Somebody help me now. You can bring them with you to heaven. Luke chapter 16, we read the account of the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. And verse number 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gates full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." What a glorious time that was. It says, "The rich man also died and was buried." One was carried, one was buried. And in hell, verse number 23, can you see that? Are you reading that with me this morning? "And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Hell is real. Hell is a reality. You don't have to see it to believe it. You shouldn't want to see it to believe it. You might as well just go ahead and believe it, friend, that it's reality. The rich man died in verse 23. He said, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." Abraham speaks to the rich man in verse 25 and says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good thing and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In other words, where you're at, we can't go. And where we are, we cannot go to you. You can't come to me, and I can't come to you. Abraham was in the heart of the earth. That's where hell's at. They was in what they call paradise, what the Bible describes as paradise, waiting for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for the Jesus Christ who has the keys of death and the grave, who suffered our hell for us and went to the heart of the earth, dumped our sins over in the lake of fire, and that was the payment of sins, and loosed the chains of those that were captive. And this little poor man, Lazarus, was one of them, and he loosed him and let him go. And from that day forward, nobody goes to paradise. They go, paradise is in heaven. Now look what the rich man says. He said, Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, verse 27, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have Moses and the prophets. Can I say, maybe he would say, they have Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church is who they have. I cannot go. I'm reminded of the verse I read in my text. It says, if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what does it profit a man? I believe the value of life ought to be revalued, friend, in this day and time in which we live in. It says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went up unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And there was one that rose from the dead. And his name was Jesus Christ. He was God-man. The one that Sister Libby so greatly sung about a while ago. I would like to preach a message entitled The Truth About Hell this morning. The Truth About Hell. You say, Brother Andy, there's nobody lost in here. That's perfectly fine. We still need to understand and know the truth about hell. You see, the problem is the church is acting like there is no hell, believing like there is no hell, living from day to day like there's no hell. Our life and our mind and our thoughts are not on there's not on death, we're not on hell, and it's not on the souls of men. But my friend, Jesus himself preached more about hell than any other preacher in the Word of God. 162 times you'll find references in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament about hell. 70 times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ was the one who was making the reference about hell. He didn't just preach on, I'll be your mediator, I'm the love of your life, and I'm the light of the world, and I'm the bread, and I'm the water. He didn't just preach on the good things of heaven and the streets of gold. I don't think he ever mentioned it, the streets of gold. But he did preach about a place where there be worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus preached about hell. And I'm convicted as the preacher of this church and my preaching as I look back on my notes and I try to find and see when was the last time that I mentioned hell from this pulpit. And I'm convicted this morning and have been convicted. And I hope that you're convicted by the end of this service to realize how much we don't talk about the most important topic that should ever be broadcasted by the mouth of the soul winners and by the mouth of the children of God who's in the wilderness to spread the word of God. Hey, Jesus is good. It's good to be saved and heaven's real. Hey, but friend, there is a heaven to gain, but there is a hell to shine this morning. I stand to you burden this morning before you saying there's a hell and we need to get a hold of it and understand the truth about hell. First of all, the truth about hell, the question may be asked, what is hell? We have children in here, we have adults in here. Someone may not understand what is hell. The Bible says in this chapter in Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 24, the Bible says it is a place of torment, the latter part of this verse. It says, for I am tormented in this flame. So there is a place. Hell is a place of fire. A place of literal fire. Hell is not the grave. Hell is not annihilation. There is no such a thing as annihilation if you have a soul. And friend, you have a soul. There is no such thing as the grave and that's it. Or annihilation, friend, I want you to know. There is life after death. In two places. Heaven or hell. It's a place of fire. What is hell? It's a furnace of fire. Matthew chapter number 13. Write this down in verse number 42. Matthew 13, verse number 42. Jesus Christ states Himself and says that it's a place of a furnace of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. All the tears in hell cannot quench the fire of the flames. Not only is hell a place of fire and a furnace of fire, but it's an everlasting fire. It's all about fire and worms. That's what it's all about. If you read your Bible, every context, every reference, every scripture, friend, it's a lake of fire. It's an eternal fire. It's an everlasting fire. It's a place of gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Someone described it as a human inferno where humans don't burn up. That's what hell is. Do you know what hell is, friend? What is hell? Jesus Christ said about hell, it's an everlasting fire. It's eternal damnation. Hell fire is damnation, a damnation of hell. It's the resurrection of the damned. It's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And life, there is life in hell. And you cannot die if you go there. You will not die. It's an eternal life of fire, eternal life of agony. That's what hell is. Hell is a literal place. You say, where is hell? Hell is in the heart of the earth. Look in Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah. Look in your Bible. Isaiah chapter number 5. Hell is real. You say, where is hell at? Isaiah 5, verse number 14. I want to give you a Bible. This is not man's opinion, but this is the Word of God. Verse number 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend, that means go down into it. Amos 9:2 says that hell is beneath you. Hell is beneath you. Matthew chapter number 12, Jesus Christ, verse number 40, write that down. Matthew 12:40, Jesus Christ says Himself in His own words, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The location of hell is not on this earth. Someone might say, if you witness to them and tell them about hell, they may say to you, friend, my hell is right here. And you can give them scripture, biblical reference, that hell is not America. Hell is not Afghanistan. Hell is not Iraq. But hell is in the heart of the earth where the fire burns forever. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 31, Paul, speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, says that Jesus, He did not leave His soul in hell, neither did He suffer His flesh to see corruption. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He did not leave His soul in hell. When Jesus died on the cross, on the third day He got up. But there was something that was going on in them 3 days of what they thought was death. Jesus Christ didn't go to heaven yet. He wasn't laying in that tomb. His body may have been there if they wrote it, but if they wrote the tomb over on the first day, but He wasn't there. He had a glorious body, and His soul went to the heart of the earth, the Bible says, and He suffered our hell for us. That's why He did that. So He took all of our sins upon Himself when He died on the cross. So you listen, church. He took all of our sins upon Himself and died on the cross, paid the penalty of death, and died and went to hell, friend. Jesus went to the heart
to the earth and he took the sins of the world and dumped them in hell and he suffered the hell for you. And I don't believe a flame touched the man of God. I don't believe a worm got near him. But friend, I want you to know he was in the very location where hell is. The heart of the earth. And it's a real place. That's where hell is at. Hell's real, friend. But so many people don't believe in hell. Jesus Christ spoke scripture after scripture in his walk on this earth about the place of hell. The place is an everlasting fire. Jesus quotes everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46. Everlasting change, eternal damnation, eternal judgment, Hebrews 6:2. Eternal fire, Jude 1:7. Unquenchable fire in Matthew 3. Friend, the thing about hell is you can see it. You can smell it. You can breathe it. You can hear it. You can feel it because it's real. What other proof does man need to know about a place called hell without going there and experience it their own self? You don't have to go to heaven to know that heaven's real. You don't have to go to Alaska to know Alaska's real. But you can go off the testimonies of other people else. And you don't have to go to hell to think it's real. If you ever went there, you'll never leave. It's a place where you'll never leave. It's worse than the Hotel California the songwriters wrote about, who you listened to and probably may have listened to recently. That place is a motel that you can never go in and never leave. You say, who's in charge of that song? Satan himself was in charge of that song, and that's why he wrote it. It's not about a hotel. It's about hell, people of God. Don't you think that the devil don't know what he's writing about, what he's doing? If he can get the Christian to listen to that song and listen to everything else and not to understand the reality of hell, friend, there won't be nobody getting saved. There won't be nobody getting born again. Your children will grow up lost, my friend, without Christ. The devil is against soul winners and God's people. The question was asked, where is hell? I believe I gave that to you scripturally. Scientists has proven it. The inferno, the heart of the earth, and I'm not going to take your time to tell you what scientists says. I'm going to take your time to tell you what God says. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather take God's word above mankind any day of the week, friend, even though scientists has discovered that there is a place of hell. You say, what's in hell? You may ask the question, what's in hell? You're in Isaiah. Look in Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66. You may ask, what's in hell? I'm going to show you by the Word of God what's in hell. It's not a pretty sight. It's a serious, sobering place. It's a serious, sobering fact that there is something, that there is life in hell. That's what I want to tell you. There's life in hell. Isaiah 66:24. Isaiah 66, verse number 24. What is in hell? Hell is a place of fire, a place of furnace of fire, everlasting fire. But there is something in hell. There is things in hell. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 24, it says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die. Look at the writing of the Scripture. Their worm shall not die. It's not talking about literal worms. It's talking about their carcass. Their body. Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. This is one of the writers, the prophet of Isaiah, preacher of Isaiah, is trying to describe through the inspiration of God the place of hell. He is trying to describe it, and he says that it's a place where their worm shall not die. There is people in hell. Right now, as I'm preaching you this message, right now, you and I have family in hell. There is people in hell, children of God, today. Right now, they are in hell. Hell, and the Bible says that their worm dieth not. Their worm dieth not. Their worm dieth not. The description of people, the description of that the Bible has described, and scholars have used the Bible and tried to describe a person when they're in agony, and a person when they're in the flame, and what the flame does to the flesh, and what the flame does to the physical body. And don't think you're not going to have a body when you go to hell, because there will be a body in hell. Friend, don't you think the rich man, he was in a body in hell, and he identified himself with Lazarus, and Lazarus identified him in hell. Friend, you're going to have another body. It may not be the one that you got right now, but you will have one in hell if you go there, friend, tonight. If you was there tonight, tomorrow, you have a body in hell. And friend, I'm telling you, what's in hell this morning is people, and the body looks like worms. It says, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. The agony of fire, I could try to describe the pain of fire. But friend, if you've ever been burnt just a little bit, and there's people that's had half their body burned, and they would tell you that it's the worst feeling you have ever felt, that mankind could ever feel, the worst pain and the worst agony that a human person could ever go through is to face the flames of fire. And in hell, there's not annihilation. It's the body being burnt, and the whole feeling, every nerve ending, every joint, every bone, every singe of everything will be burning like it just started, and it will never end in a place of hell. That's what's in hell. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You'll find in Luke chapter 16, as we read, In about the rich man when he died and with the hell, that you find that he had all his senses. And don't get me wrong about the worm. I believe there's worms in hell too. Jesus Christ quoted in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke. He said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And he likens the worms of hell. And the scientists have discovered in the heart of the earth. The center of the earth is about 50 miles probably from about where you're at. All depends on if you're on a mountain or in a valley. About 50 miles from straight down from you is what they call the heart of the earth. But in the deep parts of the ocean, where the oceans is miles and miles deep, the heart of the earth is shallow. And it's likened to a volcano. And if you ever watched a volcano, how it erupts and how the lava comes and forms down. Volcanoes have erupted and covered whole cities and covered people. I mean, if you read history, volcanoes had just burnt and, what did you say, just annihilated. Volcano, hell is like a rolling volcano in a way to describe it that you can understand. But in the bottom of the ocean, they've even saw like worms 14 foot long. That's what I've read, and I've heard that before and all that. You can go study and read and make up your mind however you want to make it. It don't really matter to me, but the Bible says there's worms in hell. And there's worms in the bottom of the ocean. There's even the spots where they have detected that flames, that the ocean was so deep that there's even flames that burst out of different places. I've never seen it. I've never experienced it. That's what I've read. Hey, but friend, I'm telling you, it wouldn't surprise me in one bit, because the Bible says in Isaiah that hell is moving to meet us at our footsteps. The Bible says, hey, that hell enlarges itself daily in the book of Proverbs. Hell is a growing. You say, why is it growing? It's because so many people are going there.